anything else he could have asked Robin Williams that he would have said no to?
Hmm.
What if he said, hey, you want to go get a quesadilla?
Would you like me to rub the suntan lotion on your back? Wouldn't want to get you burned over there, funny guy.
Hey, you hairy back son of a gun.
He's a furry fella.
He is a hairy furry guy.
Was, I guess, a furry fella is the way to say it now. But, joined in studio by a local media favorite who is trying to figure out why our headphones are so pathetically terrible.
You put them on your ears, doctor.
Try the other ones. Try the ones next to him if those aren't working. They are. Oh, I can turn them down. How's that?
Wait, what'd you say?
How's that? Is that better? You want it down a little bit more? Oh, down more? Down good? Okay. She is a she's a media professional, Pat, so she needs things just so.
Oh, are you trying to say she's a diva?
Nope.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Not compared to Chris Kane, who she's worked with many times on television.
Many times. And Justin, you know definitely I'm not a diva.
No, I do know that. She's fantastic. We are joined by Rebecca Ward, who is a LCSW. LCSW.
Figure out what that means.
Licensed clinical social worker.
All right. Well, I would have, so wouldn't have Maddie T, but we didn't have a chance.
She is a woman who can fix what ails you, or at least help you find what you need to fix what ails you.
Yeah.
Or tell you what's wrong with you. How about that?
Yesterday, when I found out about this, I immediately said, it's got to be a Facebook hoax, because you see one of these about every other week. And my sister had told me about it, and I'm like, well, that can't be true. So then I go on CNN, and I found out, yes, it was all too true. And I was so... I wasn't depressed. I won't use that term lightly, because seriously, that's not something to take lightly at this point. But I was very upset. I was surprised by my reaction to it, because this guy had brought so much joy into all of our lives for anybody who's seen him do just about anything. I would just as soon watch Robin Williams do an interview as watch about any other comedian do a stand-up routine.
Oh, his ad-lib off-the-cuff stuff was... couldn't touch it. Nobody.
Yeah. So, and then we go right to... how could he possibly be depressed? It's really quite hard for us to understand.
Yeah, it is.
You might want to move that mic down right in front of you.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
So, I'm sure you get asked that a lot. I mean, you probably get a lot of successful people that you've dealt with over the years, and you're thinking, you're not thinking that, but the average person would think, why, how can this person be depressed? They have so many things. They got life by the tail.
But that's not what's important. I mean, that you can't look at someone like Robin Williams, whom we assume has everything. But he also has a disease. He has a mental illness. And apparently for him, it was just almost unrelenting. He tried many things. He must have. He must have had the best care in the world. And yet, in the end, it got him because he couldn't see beyond it. And if you've ever been depressed, you'll understand some of this. But if you've never been depressed, it is really hard to imagine how someone can see the world as so hopeless and so depressing and bleak. But that's how he saw it. There was nothing that he could see beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to understand that. I see people like that. And interestingly enough, even though I hate it when someone comes in and I have to say, you know, you're experiencing a major depressive disorder, you have major depression, it's also hopeful because 80% of the people who come in for depression treatment are successful. And of the 20% that don't come in, 15% of those will likely die.
Hmm.
I mean, depression is one of the few diagnoses we have in my field that has a mortality rate. But it does.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between somebody who feels like they have the weight of the world on their shoulders versus somebody who feels like the world would be better off without them?
Pull your mic down just a hair, maybe. There you go. Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah. Don't you have to crane your neck the whole
time? Was I talking to myself?
Sorry.
Did you guys hear anything I just said?
I wanted to make
sure
she was comfortable over there. Is there somebody who feels versus weight of the world on their shoulders versus...
I mean, because it seemed like to him, it almost seemed like he felt like he had to always perform and there was a great weight maybe on his shoulders versus somebody who is like, oh, the world's better off without me type deal.
Yeah.
Or do you diagnose
depression? Yeah, I
do. In terms of, is that two different diagnoses?
Yeah, probably. But I think you're on the track, Pat, because I think everyone who met him felt an obligation to be something, to make an impression on, you know, to make them laugh. I mean, he worked himself crazy. If you've seen any of his videos that have been all over this morning, there was one from Good Morning Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And he never stopped. He was almost manic.
Yeah.
And I wondered if his diagnosis was bipolar rather than major depression. I don't know. Maybe that some more of that will come out.
We've seen, this is not the first time this has happened, and whether it's a drug overdose or something else. Clearly, people are dealing with some pretty significant issues. In the way of diagnosis or treatment, have you seen, because you've done this more than a couple of days, have you seen any great stride as far as improvement in?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay. What kinds of things have we seen moving in the right direction to handle this?
Well, we've seen things like people get less scared to talk about mental illness. You know, we get a lot. I mean, I was willing to change my schedule to get down here today. Anytime I can talk about depression, I'm going to do it because it is a treatable disease. People don't have to die from it. It makes me so sad when they do. Our medications are better. When I started at the state hospital in my internship in 1978-79, we were still using tricyclics, which had terrible side effects. People didn't like the way they felt. Now we have a multitude of new medications with less side effects that are more effective. So there's better treatment, and there's more talk about it. People are more willing to come in. Although men who commit suicide, over 50% of the suicides in our country are by males. Now, 70% of women are diagnosed, but they'll go in for treatment. Men won't. They'll try self-medication, alcohol.
So then I ask, Robin Williams just had access to, I'm sure, not a cheap facility. He just went in
right. And
got, you know, as a precaution, he called it. And yet here we are a couple weeks later, and he's taking his own life.
Yep.
How does that happen?
Well, when people go inpatient, I mean, it's a wonderful setting, but they're still not dealing with the real world. They're in a rather protected environment with professionals around them. They're not as tempted to do drugs there because they're not around. And I think when you get out, you're immediately faced with, well, you know, same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless they have ongoing treatment, and sometimes daily, at least two or three times a week, and a sponsor to be right there, sometimes they just relapse.
Mm.
It just, they don't have the support internally to keep themselves up.
Well, we got a question here from Randy. Go ahead, Randy. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Randy from Jacksonville. I was wanting to ask the therapist about the difference between clinical and situational depression.
Yes.
And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Randy.
Well, clinical depression is when people are, you're not even sure why it starts. It's likely to be a biochemical thing. Something goes wrong in their brain chemistry. But with a situational depression, you know, people get depressed if they've experienced a loss, if they're going through a grieving process, or they're going through a divorce, or the loss of a job. This is what you might expect, and even though it might need to be treated, it is likely going to be a short-term situation. You know, they're going to get the medication, they're going to feel better, the situation's going to change, time's going to work its magic, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a clinical depression, you may deal with that off and on for a while. Sometimes people take the medications their entire lives.
So with situational, it could be with somebody who has never shown signs of depression.
Absolutely.
And something happens that just triggers it.
Right.
Well, yeah, and you know, I'm sure you see a lot of both. I mean, I'm married to someone who's been through the loss of a spouse before, and it's, you know, that's something that takes a long time to get over. I'm sure probably the hardest thing I can imagine is like a loss of a child or something like that, but... what do you see more of? Do you see more of chemical imbalance type of situations or situational depression like we're talking about?
Well, I think I see about half and half.
Really?
I mean, yeah, it's pretty even.
Is medication always part of the formula or not necessarily?
If someone has been experiencing some of the major symptoms of depression when they come to me, if they've been like this 4 to 5 weeks, I think it's time for chemical intervention.
Mm-hmm. We certainly, I don't want to bring everybody down today, and we will talk some sports here, which I know is really our main focus. However, I do think this is really important. And, you know, we got a call from a guy earlier who I like. He's a good caller. He calls on a regular basis, but there was a bit of an insensitivity to mental illness. It's a recurring theme we see, and it disappoints me. And so I like trying to spread You know, I don't know how many times we have to tell society that it's no different than a physical ailment, but
That's right.
Don't want to look at it that way.
No, they want to look at it as some sort of character weakness,
right,
or some sort of personality problem, and it isn't. Someone asked me one time, they said, well, I can't tell whether my son's lazy or depressed. And I said, well, they're two different things. Sometimes when people are depressed, they may seem lazy because they have no energy. I mean, just to get up and to get ready for the day is an ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
But there are lazy people.
This is true.
That's right. So you,
how old have you diagnosed it or seen in a child?
I don't work with children. But
what about it that you've, someone who does that you've heard about?
Well, 10 to 14 years old, there are a lot of, there's a lot of suicides. I found some stat on that that was just amazing. One in 65,000 kids, 10 to 4, suicide.
10 to 14?
Mm-hmm. Whew. Can you imagine?
That's an awfully high rate, yeah.
Okay, but remember, teenagers...
There's a lot of chemical imbalance in those kids.
Yes, they are. Their hormones are like this. But they also don't know yet about the bigger picture. You know,
big picture guy over here.
Big picture.
You need to be doing speeches to kids about big pictures.
2014, a big picture
That's
guy.
That's Pat's theme this year. We have a theme every year.
Wonderful. How are you going to do that?
It's been a great year. It really has.
Yeah, well,
I think I've talked, you know, I've definitely convinced myself over and over that it's going to be a great year, and it's turned out to be a great year.
Well, that's a different deal. That's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, which I'm a firm believer
in that,
too. Yeah,
big picture guy.
But I also say that it helps you sort of brush off the little things that happen to you that really, at the end of the day, aren't that important. Like, if I cut you off and interrupt you when you're in the middle of a rant or something important, it doesn't bother you as much, because in the big picture...
Big picture.
It's just me being me. And I'm rude and inconsiderate.
It's about accepting people, too.
Yeah,
right?
for all their faults.
Yeah.
Many, many of them.
Absolutely. Lowering your expectations.
That's it. And then you get to be pleasantly surprised.
Your expectations, guys.
I am,
year.
Because then you get to be pleasantly surprised.
Especially with his golf game. We've been trying to convince him to do that.
I know. And I'm getting much more zenny about my golf game. I do that with drivers. I see people that get freaked out and upset. And you see people that act manic when they're driving. I mean, that's really bad. I mean, the thing is,
rage.
Are you one of those folks?
No.
Okay. You got to calm down out there, folks. If you expect people to be crappy drivers, you get to be pleasantly surprised occasionally. It's really a nice change of pace. The other thing I want to talk about was, and we're talking about a sad story from an incredible entertainer today, but it all goes back to something we talk about all the time, and that is mental illness. And typically that conversation comes up after a mass shooting, unfortunately.
Right.
But again, all these things have sad endings unless it's treated and dealt with, and then you can have a happy ending. And so I don't want to lose sight of that either, because that's also part of the reason that this was so important to me today, was because there are sometimes people who get to that point in their lives and they do bad things, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a mass shooting. We've seen situations with people, you know, murder, suicides within their own families, things like that. I mean, it all goes back to somebody whose brain is not functioning in a proper fashion. So whether it's depression or something else, I mean, what do we do? I mean, how can we help prevent this kind of stuff? I mean, what can the average Joe do other than trying to be a, you know, shoulder to cry on, or somebody that's an encourager as far as trying to help people get help?
I think we ought to have more education awareness in schools and get to kids a little bit younger and let them know about how emotions are going to affect them, how they're going to have to learn to contain emotions, express them appropriately, but above all, recognize that it's human to have them. And, you know, it's okay to feel frustrated. It's okay to express it, but you have to do it in a, you know, in an appropriate way. Let's continue to educate people. Mental illness is not a problem with your personality or your character. Mm-hmm. You've gotten an illness.
Simple as that. Rebecca Ward joining us in the studio. I'm going to take another question or two here, and then we will let her get back to work. Jerry, go ahead.
Yes, very good points, and, you know, I just have one thing to add. It just seems like people that struggle with depression also a lot of times turn to medicine, and you know, as a medicine, as a fix-all, and the doctors are not always coordinated well enough to understand, you know, that situation that's going on with someone's life. And I know that, you know, say a general practitioner has prescribed something, knows there's an issue with that person on the medicine side of that. And, you know, and that person ends up going to see, say, a psychiatrist. and the general practitioner won't prescribe medicine any longer to that person, that particular medicine or whatever they're having an issue with, and they're dealing with depression already. Mm-hmm. And then, say a psychiatrist will begin to prescribe those same medicines that have been really troublesome for that person over a long period of time. And I've had this happen in my life. I know how hard that is, and I know how hard that is for the person that ends up doing that. But it just seems like there's not good coordination between all the doctors to understand where there's problems that lie in on the medicine side of that when it comes to a patient. And so my question to you is, why can't we do better in that arena?
You mean the communication with doctors?
Yes, yes.
I wish we had that answer. I'm not sure, but one problem I'm having as a general practitioner psychotherapist is when I have someone that needs to see a psychiatrist, it may be 4, 6, 8 weeks before I can get them in to see someone.
Yeah.
So oftentimes we start out with the general practitioner because we can get them in faster. And then when he transfers to the psychiatrist, there needs to be good communication into what's been done. But always the psychiatrist is the one who's trained to deal with psychotropic meds.
I have another question here. This was sent to me by a listener who said she sent me a copy of a story, and it says, especially susceptible are patients who experience high levels of stress or life transitions. Also, major heart surgery often leaves patients with depression.
Always.
And he's a guy that underwent heart surgery. So
that's right.
It's another thing playing
Why
into it
that?
For him.
I don't know, but we always know, and I think the cardiologists know too, that someone who has their chest cracked open and goes through that sort of trauma is going to have residual depression. And most refer to someone to see them, or they put them on a sort of prophylactic antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it has to do with the absolute assault to your mortality. When you're put to sleep and all the blood's taken out of your body, and they stop your heartbeat and they do whatever they have to do and fire you back up again, something has happened significantly to your unconscious.
Hmm.
I mean, it is a direct assault on your sense of your mortality.
That's wild.
Yep.
I've never heard that before. There's a lot of things I haven't heard, though. Tom.
Hello, I have a question for the doctor.
Yes, please.
Okay, the social worker. Doctor, clinical doctor.
Social worker, doctor.
Yeah, I've had some challenges with my professional career and personal life, and I hate myself. How do I get beyond hating myself and giving myself a break? How in the world does someone overcome that? I'm going to hang up and listen now, okay?
Please listen. What you need to do is you're going to have to change that internal dialogue. That's, I work a lot with this esteem issues. And the negative internal dialogue that we all have going on, some of us, we think about it as thinking. But you talk to yourself in a way that is either positive and encouraging and nurturing, or you talk to yourself in a critical, demeaning, almost hateful way. And I think that's what you're doing. If you make a mistake, you don't say, I learned something here. I'm going to do something better. If you're overweight, you don't look in the mirror and say, I need to lose a little weight. You say, I'll never get it right. I'm stupid. Or you look in the mirror and say, I am fat and I am ugly. Now, you can't talk to yourself on a continuing basis like that and expect yourself to like yourself. So you have to start working on that internal dialogue, and you need to see a counselor, therapist who will help you do that. It can be done. I do it all the time. Some people it takes longer. Some people catch on a little faster. Or it's just a little bit easier. I tell everybody, we're all recovering children. We just, some of us have more to recover from than others. Good luck.
Some of us.
I like to say talk to yourself.
Some of us want to stay children, though. Pat and I are doing a fantastic job.
Is that okay, doctor?
I think the spirit of doing and staying a child is fine. I also know, Pat, I don't know you, but I know Justin. He's a wonderful husband. He's a wonderful father.
Wait, you said you know Justin?
Yeah.
Not me. Some other guy named Justin.
No, this guy right here. I know what kind of husband and father he is. So sure, he has a young spirit, but he's also responsible, caring, etc.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Pat, you're out. I got a new co-host. She understands me in a way that you never can. Let me get one more call in here, and then we got to let Doc go.
Yes, you're right.
only a clinical physician could understand that sick, sick mind.
Oh, look, I had a whole team of doctors working on me for a
Doc,
month.
He doesn't come from a broken home. He comes from a shattered home.
What's up, Mule Rider?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
I love the fact that you called in as Mule Rider. Talk to me.
Hey, I was just going to tell you, coming from I'm about to be a junior in college, and I don't have depression necessarily, but I will tell you, I think a lot of people in the college age and high school age will just suffer just from some general depression. But I was going to say, as a person who got diagnosed with ADHD last year, I know that's not the same illness as depression, but they had put me on some medicine. But more or less, I just had to step up to the plate and realize that I can do this without medicine, and that wasn't required to pay attention or to learn or to even concentrate. And I'm a strong believer that medicine, you know, can fix things, but it's just so dangerous nowadays. And I think it's just within yourself, and you just have to really just almost man up to a point. I know a lot of people are a lot worse off than me, but there's a point where I think you just have to take enough accountability. And I just want to say y'all have a great show and y'all have a great day.
Appreciate the call. All I would say,
I'm sure she wouldn't advise people to abruptly stop taking their medication because there's serious side effects to that, doctor, right?
Absolutely. You have to go to your doc and you have to go through the process to wean yourself off.
Well, it's I think you do have to take personal responsibility, but at the same time, sometimes there is no way to combat it without some help when it comes to
medicine. Because you take a pill doesn't mean you're not going to have to do things on your own. The pill's not going to solve the problem. It's going to give you some energy and it's going to lighten your depression enough that you then can begin to do something.
It takes everything.
It takes
environment, right? I mean, every part of what you got to do.
Everything.
Well, one question that I wanted to ask you was family history and genetics. How much does that play into it? If somebody has that in their family history, should they be concerned of he's talking to
you go ahead.
See how he interrupts?
Yeah, he does.
I didn't interrupt us.
Yeah, we were making all sorts of signs over there. I couldn't tell what that meant, but yes, there's a lot of familial influence in depression. I mean, I'm working with a man right now that 4 out of 6 of his siblings have had major depressive disorders. We've had one suicide. It can be really frightening, but if you get on it and you realize this can happen to me, then you can get help. So that's what I say. If you think you're depressed, don't be ashamed. Don't think alcohol's going to fix this for you. Go see someone, just like you would go if you had the flu or if you had appendicitis. You know, go get yourself some help.
Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. It's very timely, and I hope people will take some positive
dozens. Knocked it out of the park.
That's what she does. Rebecca Ward, very good. I appreciate you. If somebody wanted to reach out to you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
They can call me. They can email me. That's such a good way because I always read them. It's rfw630 at sbcglobal.net.
Okay.